Ladies and gentlemen, this is the operator. The earnings call of Laxmi Organic Industries will begin in the next couple of minutes. Thank you for your patience, and please continue to stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY26 earnings call of Laxmi Organic Industries Limited. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Rajan Venkatesh, MD and CEO of Laxmi Organic Industries. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good morning. Namaskaram from my side. Also, good evening or good afternoon, depending on the time zones that you guys are dialing in from. Again, thank you for your interest on what's happening at Laxmi. Let me start again with the large strokes. First, slightly at the macro. I guess we all continue to hear a lot that's happening at a macro level, which has ramifications for all of us. Then bring it a little more closer to what does that mean on the raw material implications for us as Laxmi. What does it mean for our customers, and how are we seeing demand generations there? Then give you also a quick insight into where are we seeing on topics like logistics, which also, as you can imagine, is an important topic. Take you through to where are we on our current projects and assets, how are we shaping up there. I'm also very happy to announce, and I will do that in the course of the narrative, our new CFO who will join us by middle of June, give you a brief introduction about him, and also then take you through our performance sequentially, quarter four versus quarter three of FY26, and also give you a quick preview of how did we close out FY26 versus FY25, and then open it up for questions. So let me start first with the macro element. Certainly, you know, the way to look at quarter four is Jan and Feb, and then thereafter, after Valentine's Day and towards the end of February is when there was a lot more interesting things happening, specifically the conflict in the Middle East, which, as we all know, still today continues to, you know, go on. And therein is where we saw a lot of spikes in feedstocks. I think it was more, a lot more uncertainty creeping in into the overall chemical ecosystems, from primarily crude, thereafter certain key building blocks like methanol, and specifically also more so building blocks that are coming from the Middle East into the other geographies, into Asia and others. So not surprisingly, taking it to the next step. So March is where we saw those disruptions, which then continued into April and also continues now in different forms. When we then take the next step into certain key raw materials that impact us as Lakshmi, acetic acid is clearly one of them. If you remember the narratives during the course of the previous financial year, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, what we had seen in a product like acetic acid was prices had actually fallen all the way down to close to about 300, 320 levels, which also, if you remember my narrative, was we felt not sustainable for the acetic acid producers. And thereafter, in quarter three is where we already saw prices moving upward. We saw certain key suppliers of acetic acid in Asia and also globally taking shutdowns, some planned, some unplanned, and we saw our prices had already moved up upward of slightly over $400. And then I would say in Jan-Feb, we saw those prices moderating in the range of about $350, $370. What we certainly then saw happening fundamentally into March, from those levels of $350, $370, we saw a large spike, first more so in March and thereafter in April. And these were then crossing at upper end beyond $700. But the spikes have been in that sense a bit short-lived. And we are also seeing that prices are moderating back to, I would say, a certain commonsensical levels. And where we are seeing currently prices for acetic acid is around the levels about $450, $470, where we seemingly think that this will find a floor. So that's one key raw material for us. Ethanol, we have not seen the spikes as large. Primarily, what we bring in ethanol from the Americas, and therein we also continue to see that ethanol remains, I think prices are firm, but we have not seen the price swings that we have seen for a product like acetic acid. Also important to note, for acetic acid, one of the key raw materials is methanol. And given that the Middle East is one of the key producing regions for methanol, not surprisingly, there was a lot of anxiety. And that is where we have seen these price swings. Coming to our customer base, again, you know, on a qualitative level, we have seen the whole host of reactions from our customers. Some of them who are risk averse in such a volatile situation have chosen to sort of build up some inventory and are sort of willing to pay a certain premium on the supply reliability side. Some of them, I think, again, it is very industry specific. Some of them are a little more taking it as they require it. And so they are just saying, I'll buy what I need and then sort of keep restocking. On our sort of what has also kept us as Lakshmi in good stead has been our strategy, our procurement strategy that has kept us in good stead. That is where we have been able to also ensure that our assets have been running reliably during these periods. Coming again deeper into the customer segments, for example, in pharma, we have seen on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and I'm here referring to quarter four of FY26, in Jan and Feb, we found the demand was stable, and we certainly saw the spike happening in March. Again, to the narrative that I have just shared with you, Printing and packaging is also where we saw Jan and Feb, the demand on a quarter-on-quarter basis was stable and then spiking into March. In our industrial solution segments, we have continued to see demand being stable and slightly firming up in quarter four, and also what we are seeing first telltale signs into quarter one. The same is true for our pigment sector. So that's broadly what we are seeing on the demand side from our customer industries. Quarter one is a narrative we will speak into when we meet next time and when we discuss the quarter one performance on our customer demand side. Logistics, as when we reflect on FY26 or versus FY25, we all remember the Independence Day tariffs that were announced towards the latter half of FY25, that had a large ramifications on logistic costs. And as we entered FY26, there was a moderation in those logistic costs and vessel availability that we observed. But certainly since March, that has gone into a different dizzy. And unlike the COVID, the Middle East crisis has triggered multiple surcharges. So that is a very different dynamic that we are grappling with. But broadly, it would be fair to say what we are experiencing is that the logistic costs have doubled since this conflict has started, plus a host of other surcharges. This is certainly something to be watch out for, but today, which is a negative drag overall. Again, coming closer to home on our asset basis, at our facility or fluorination setup at Lote, we have actually achieved the what we had lined up for ourselves into FY26. We achieved 40 to 45% of the peak revenues. And we also have, as we enter this financial year, a good order book, and we remain on a good position at that setup. Also thrilled to announce that we have started up our world-scale ethyl acetate setup line at Lote, and we have started already dispatches to customers. At our project at Dahej, the phase one, if from the previous narratives, what we had shared, we had already started and we are continuing to supply the market. Our phase two range of products and plants are the chemical charging will happen in this quarter one of FY27. And we certainly are very, very excited to start the sampling to customers and then into the second half of FY27, where we will see revenues from the hedge impacting our P&L positive. That being said, I think what is also very, very important on our mind is the entire responsible and sustainability lens, because as our manufacturing footprints are increasing, it is also important that how do we, you know, be more prudent in the way we are looking at how much water we are using, how much energy intensity we have been displaying. And I think we have taken excellent steps, and a big call out to the teams that have been involved in that, wherein our intensity on a lot of these key elements have actually on a year-on-year basis at our existing setups been significant. We have seen significant improvements. We will be releasing our BRSR report, so you will have an opportunity to look and understand what I am calling out here. Our supply chain digitization project, which we remember was an important transformative initiative that we launched last year, and we basically are expecting this to go live in quarter two of the FY27. Coming to the announcement of Mr. Amit Jain. Amit Jain will join us as of 16th of June as Lakshmi Organic CFO. I'm very glad that he has chosen to join our journey. He joins us from Garda Chemicals, that was his last role as a CFO. He comes with 30 years of extensive experience working as a strategic business partner across chemicals, packaging, pharmaceutical industries, and his experience spans corporate strategy, investor relations, treasury, restructuring, M&A, and enterprise transformation, all of which I think are very, very relevant for us as an organization. And I'm glad and I'm sure that he will add a lot of value and continue to steer us into the next phase of our growth. So that's a bit on really the markets and what I would talk about. Then just changing gears, coming to the financials, I would focus first on the sequential lens of how have we grown sequentially in quarter four versus quarter three of FY26. Based on what I just shared with you, we certainly saw revenues growing by 9%, driven across both businesses, essentials and specialties. And we also saw in quarter four, sequentially, we saw margin improvements across the two businesses. So that's been an important journey for us, because I'll then come into the FY26 narrative, and that's why it's important that sequentially, I think we have performed very, very well, and we are satisfied. More importantly, it also sets a good base as we enter the current financial year. Then comes the lens of the full year 2026 narrative. What you certainly see in FY26 versus FY25, our revenues have degrown by 6%. And you know, this is something we have been talking very openly over the last investor calls. The margin pressures that we have seen, the overall deflationary feedstock environment that we have been grappling with, and we have also had certainly one-time effects in our specialties structurally that has impacted us. The gross margin profile also has then obviously come under pressure on a full year basis. But we have been also, you know, as our new sites have started up, we have certainly seen also our employee costs increasing by about 14 crores when we look at from the new site setup. But we were also driven by one-time reversals that we had experienced in FY25. Then obviously we did not manifest in FY26. So that is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. So ending the year strong, I think that's what I would like to call out. And also we anticipate that a good, decent start into the current financial year. But also, you know, we are very, very prudent in our working capital management. That has kept us in a good state, which is then also enabling us to invest in our growth projects. With that, I would open the for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Jainam Ghelani with Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. So, sir, in our previous call, you had mentioned that our ethyl acetate spread for Q3 FY26 was almost $100 to $110. So, what did it stand at in Q4? And due to the Middle Eastern crisis, what was the peak that it made? And what is the current levels of those spreads?
Good. Before I answer that, I am also here accompanied by Mr. Harsh Goenka. I think most of you know him. He's the executive director here at Lakshmi and also wears the interim CFO hat. So it will be Harsh and me covering the Q&A question. So, Jainab, thank you for that question. I'm sure you're excited to understand that. So, yes, quarter three, and if you remember our narrative that we shared, we said first and foremost that the acetic acid price points was very, very low, and we felt that is not going to be sustainable for many of the key acetic acid producers, which is what got manifested. We saw acetic acid capacities coming offline, and we saw also acetic acid prices, as I spoke in my starting commentary, increase into quarter three, and some of that also then settling around $350-$370. So the spreads of ETAC certainly had gone down below 100, and we then saw the spreads for ETAC improving somewhere in the range of about $130 when we look at the space of January and February. $130 would be a fair number is what we reflected on that spreads. What we saw then happening, given the large spike in the acetic acid prices, and don't forget, a lot of that is also driven from methanol, which is a key building block into acetic acid. We saw the spreads jumping up to about 220 levels in March, And then what we saw, them also further increasing to up to about 250 levels into April. And since then, we have seen certainly, and if you remember, the average spread over a 12 to 13 year period, excluding the COVID highs, is in that $220 ballpark. So we certainly saw the spreads increasing, coming back to the average spread level over the cycle and even increasing beyond that. Currently, we are seeing spreads at the range of, I think they have moderated lower. So we are seeing spreads as we speak now close to the $150 to $160 range.
Fair to say that over the next 1 or 2 quarters, we expect the spreads to be sustainable around this range, $150 to $160, and this could be the bottom now?
I wish if people stop tweeting and if there is a little more sanctity in where the dynamics are happening in Middle East, to say that I think we believe in this, we are taking it day to day. I think that would be a fair answer. We also believe where we see acetic acid prices having settled, we believe that could be a floor given that methanol prices still are very, very high. So this could be somewhere we think point in time as we discuss where things may sort of land for now. Again, take it with a pinch of salt. It's a point in time and it's evolving as we speak.
And so we saw that in the specialty segment, our revenues dropped by 18% year on year. And in your earlier call, you had mentioned that almost 8 to 9% was because one of our, we had lost one big contract. So the remaining 8 to 9%, is it purely pricing or have we lost volume or market share in some other case too?
So first is what you see in Q4, we have really done very, very well in our specialty business. We have recouped that. So if you remember, there were 3 broad buckets, especially if you look at the first half year. The one was the structural product, that was about 10%, close to 10% of our top line. What we had also called out is we have an alternative in the pipeline and we had already triggered that alternative. We saw some revenues from that creeping in into Q4, but it is more an FY27 where you will see manifestation from that. So that's the first bucket. The second bucket was we said we had shipments which were deferred by certain key customers from first half into second half. That is also what has got manifested into Q4 for our specialty space. And the third one, the deflationary effect on key feedstocks. And if you again remember over FY25 and also FY26, key feedstocks like acetic acid actually dropped by close to 30% over a 2 year period. And then even in the specialty space, while we do not have cost plus based formulas, you need to start reflecting that. And hence, so it is an, I would say, amalgamation of these 3 factors. The first one more being more material that had a full year impact. Second one was a deferment, which we saw manifesting in Q4, like we had anticipated. And a third one was more the deflationary environment, which then impacted our sales. So if you then look at our, on a year-on-year basis also, if you see specialties, we have certainly almost flattish. And that goes to show where we are.
So is it fair to say that now the deferment of orders and post the crisis, the pricing has also improved? So those 2 problems have gone away. And as we ramp up the product, we can see growth in specialty in FY27 and FY28.
We have to, right? Because we are also investing. Our Dahej capacity is coming online, as I mentioned. So you will see manifestation from that coming into the second half of this financial year and ramp up thereafter. And so I think that's where we are. And obviously, the specialty business is steered slightly differently. It is not as, fungible in some senses. We have contracts with key customers. And we have understanding. So there is a certain timing effect on how you move through, especially in these disruptive feedstock environment, how prices are moved through. And I think that is how we are doing it very responsibly in discussion with customers, both in essentials and specialties.
Okay. And sir, as you mentioned in your opening commentary that our phase 2 should commence operations in Q1 and our Hitachi plant should commence in Q2. Suppose that we are done with our capex for the near term. So how do you see the ramp up in these projects? Can we actually see revenues of almost 3700 to 4000 crores in FY27 and almost 5000 crores in FY28?
So I think we have been very clear. First is the manifestation of the Dahej project is not a full year. It is primarily impacting us, and we have got the entire qualification phase, all of that to happen. So now is when the ketene, diketene elements will come on play. So we will see revenues increasing into second half, and then we will gradually ramp it up into FY28 and beyond. The Hitachi project, that will manifest in quarters three, and then we will have a steady qualification and ramp up happening into FY27, and we have a multi-year contract with them, so that will manifest accordingly. We will, as things are more and more clear today, I think I hope there is a respect and understanding. The backdrop that chemicals are operating in is continues to be very, very fluid and evolving. So to put absolute numbers would be immature from my side. So we will take it, and once things settle is when we will have better line of sight.
But sir, any rough asset turnover that you can give, that what could be the peak potential from a Dahej project? Since we spent almost 1,000 crores.
Rana, we have given it in the past. So it is a blend of capex is between essentials and specialties. And we have said, you know, what is the asset turn we anticipate in our specialty business and also essentials business. So I think that that's something we've spoken of in the past.
Okay. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and want to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
So, guys, thank you. Thank you all for joining in, and thank you for your interest in how Lakshmi is navigating the current times. What I would like to first and foremost call out is a big, big shout out to the whole team Lakshmi, because in difficult times is when you are tested the most. And I truly believe the way we have sort of coming through FY26, preparing ourselves for FY27 and beyond, is a testimony that the team is geared for growth and geared to win. We are tapping all the levers which is in our control, and we are doing this in a very judicious manner. And we are doing, again, with close proximity with our customers. So I look forward, and I'm truly excited to continue this conversation with you all. Thank you all, and thank you to all our stakeholders.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Lakshmi Organic Industries, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.